You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. All right, you ready to review 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Hey.
Good night, everybody.
Is that what it takes 2 days to record this?
That was your A material, really?
I saved it for the opening.
Jesus.
I'm actually kind of shocked.
The Cloverfield pair of dicks that this sucks.
It's a bit of a stretch.
I can't believe I hadn't seen anybody use either one of those jokes online yet. I'm just like, really? I mean, especially the 10 Cloverfield Lane. It's like so just laying there. I'm like, what? No one wants to take that?
They were all there just for you.
Aw. And then people are like, there's a reason no one else took that. No, you're going to have mixed opinions. So you guys are like, oh, come on, you guys. Wasn't that bad? I think we have a range of opinions about this movie, from the I really liked it to the I absolutely hated it. So we shall see. And I know what some people here think. I have no idea what others do. But yeah, the Cloverfield Paradox. This is going to be a full spoiler review because this isn't a theatrical release. If you want to see it, I mean, seriously, just I'll
pause
say
it and watch it.
As a person who's leaning, who didn't really like it, but didn't feel like it was a total waste of my time either. It's on Netflix. I mean, if you've got Netflix, fucking watch the goddamn thing if you like sci-fi movies. It's what, like an hour and a half? Whatever. Get over it.
So last warning, seriously.
Then come back and listen to our spoiler review we're doing in this. But we got a big room here, so let's start with me. It's me, right? Chris. And then we've got...
Ian Butcher.
It's-a me, Mario. No, it's Michael.
Patience.
Matt.
George.
Yeah, this film is interesting more, I think, in terms of the way it was released, for sure, and the strange strategizing around said release than anything else.
Strategy.
There's a lot more interesting things to talk about this film, about theories about said release, than there are about the film itself, almost.
Yeah.
There is a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, everything from, no, they knew what they were doing completely the whole time. This was always going to be a Cloverfield movie. I have a raised Spock eyebrow. This was always meant to be released this way. I have two raised Spock eyebrows.
one of those is the Rock eyebrow, eventually.
It seems to me more...
Yeah,
this
neither
was...
of those things are true, but they don't matter.
Yeah.
What
do you mean?
Who cares?
They announced with 10 Cloverfield Lane, like, what they thought they were going to do with Cloverfield is basically make this like the Twilight Zone, mm-hmm. where it's films, like, scripts that they like, that they feel they can kind of adapt in this universe. Like, you know, Twilight Zone, anything can be a Twilight Zone episode, it just needs a certain element to it. And like this, it's like, okay, well, we need Cloverfield monsters, but they don't even necessarily, I think this sets up where they don't necessarily need monsters either. But like anything that's just really bizarre that's happening for seemingly no reason now could be a Cloverfield property.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's just it, though. This felt like this is something that from their production company. It really felt to me like a movie that they had the script. They were in the middle of filming, maybe even all but done with filming. Yeah. And the studio was like, this just isn't working. And they went to JJ because this was just the God Particle. Yeah. For a long time, until all of a sudden it wasn't, and it changed to untitled Cloverfield film.
But 10 Cloverfield Lane was another script, and even when it was filmed, they reshot it to make it.
They did.
Did they really? Even the original Cloverfield started out as a found footage Godzilla movie. Once they realized that they couldn't get the rights to Godzilla, then they were like, "Well, let's do our own thing."
I feel like that's something I would have known.
Yeah, I feel like that's not true. I was
going to
say that one. I'm not sure about.
Yeah, no.
Knows Toho is like, no.
Yeah, yeah. Toho said no ho, and they thought they meant yes.
But 10 Cloverfield Lane was like one of those. It was a script written with nothing to do with it. This one feels, though, even more so than that one, like in post, they added scenes to make it a Cloverfield
it's
film.
It's really clear to me that, and this is just because it's a JJ thing. It's a JJ thing. I feel like there needs to be like a wacky sitcom catchphrase because there's clearly no plan. there, as far as everything I've read, there never was intended to be a series. They saw whatever 10 Cloverfield Lane was originally supposed to, whatever that was originally called, and they said, we could get an extra marketing boost by making this a Cloverfield, calling this a Cloverfield film, even though it has no real connection to the first film, which it doesn't need to, because, yeah, if you wanted to, moving forward, say, okay, this is going to be a Twilight Zone-style anthology series, that's fine.
You know, what drives me crazy, and I know it's like, okay, but see, now it all makes sense.
It doesn't make sense.
No, because what the thing did, the weird science thing that somehow would give a life humans unlimited energy out orbiting the planet with the Large Hadron Collider. I don't know either. But science. What that did was it split off to endless parallel dimensions, so all those other Cloverfield movies are actually in other parallel worlds.
Okay. They
ripped the fabric of space-time so that timelines even don't really
I'm just
matter.
Like, okay.
Yeah, nothing matters anymore.
It's the laziest thing to do to make everything Cloverfield I've ever heard.
The whole, like, it's just because the multiverse is a buzzword right now in science fiction circles, and it's like, well, it just doesn't matter, because it was like all the Cloverfield monsters on all the universes, and and then we're gonna bring in Voltron.
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Well, there's a speech by Donald Logue that was clearly filmed in post that was added to this. Like, thought like he was gonna end with that.
I thought he was gonna be like, yeah, because he's like monsters from the sea,
demons.
I was listening. So
demons across all time.
Well, I was
the only good thing that can come out of all this at this point to me is that eventually there'll be a painting of a bunch of Cloverfield monsters playing poker, and I will buy it.
Oh shit!
I need to just make that right now.
I feel like you guys added a lot of stuff in your heads to certain things, because I never got the idea that it was like a Crisis on Infinite Cloverfields.
That's what he says in the monologue.
The monologue is just, hey, if we fuck this up, we'll bring things into this universe. But that's the end of it.
He started saying monsters from the sea.
Yeah. Even his
demons. Lordy,
but like, even that character, he has the same last name as John Goodman's character in 10 Cloverfield Lane. And the
person
interviewing him is the woman who tries to get in the shelter that John Goodman refuses to let in.
Is that really what happened?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's some post-production bullshit that doesn't mean anything.
That's the thing. Like, everything you're saying about them, you know, this not being a Cloverfield movie, that's totally true. Like, they shot this as God Particle. They pretty much finished it as God Particle.
No.
And then...
No.
This is going
to
be
Cargill,
a thing.
Cargill, who read God Particle and they were considering working on it, like, 10 years ago, you know, when they... Actually, less than that, but, like, when they read it, based on him reading it then... And what was actually filmed, it was completely rewritten, according to him.
Well, he
did say that on Twitter the other day.
Says that nobody at some point in the process said, so you've seen Event Horizon, right?
George, isn't that what he was saying? That this was never originally a Cloverfield film and they totally rewrote it to be one?
No, they did rewrite it, but he's saying that they filmed it and then afterwards changed it. But that happened with 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I'm saying the Cloverfield element of it came in after the fact.
Because on the
Cargill, obvious.
But that's whether or not he wrote that script.
But that's like Die Hard of the Vengeance started out as Simon
Says. No, I know, but it was at least rewritten. What I'm saying is them making it a Cloverfield, that decision came really late in the game.
I don't doubt.
You guys are agreeing with each other.
No, you're right. No, you're right.
After it was shot.
Come on, you piece of shit. I hate you. No, you're right. Don't touch me. I agree with you so much.
I feel like after it was shot, they did reshoots to make it even more Cloverfield.
Yeah, that's exactly true. You can feel that watching the movie that it started out as one thing, became this other thing, and it kind of just, the movie got to a point where Paramount was kind of sitting there and they're going, well, we don't really know what to do with this, because this movie had like 3 or 4 different release dates, kept getting pushed back,
and then it finally
got to the point where Netflix was like, we'll like cover the bill for the entire movie if you just give it to us.
Paid $50 million.
I really want to know where they get their fucking money from.
My subscription went up $5.
If you actually go to the Netflix offices, there's just this dude in the corner selling heroin.
I was wondering when a drug selling joke was going to pop into this.
The stock stock market is the real answer.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess those Voltron toys must be selling pretty good. So, I mean, I
bought three of them, so shut up.
I was going to say, I may have...
People are still willing to invest them, even though they lose money every quarter, but people still invest in them.
All of these things
money.
Way more interesting than the actual movie we're talking about.
I have black, red, and yellow lion in my house right now.
So we're going to talk about this
all five.
let's back away from the how Cloverfield-y or not it is.
Sure,
sure. We all agree that this feels very sort of retrofitted to be a Cloverfield film more than it feels like an actual, like something that's organic with that. And back away from the weird release thing with Netflix, which obviously has been much commented upon, just say, dude, it's a big sci-fi movie in outer space with Daniel Brühl, Elizabeth Debicki, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, Chris O'Dowd, David Oyelowo, Zhang Ziyi. That's a damn good cast.
I feel like you made up one of those names.
I was watching, when the movie starts up, I'm like, oh, I know him. I know him from the IT Crowd.
And, you know, like, I think on the whole, most people in here, I mean, it's not like anybody's bad in it. There's some bad decisions of what to do with
the dialogue is really heavy-handed.
Well, there's like the opening, I remember right from the first scene in this, but with Gugu Mbatha-Raw and her boyfriend?
Husband,
in the car, it's just pure exposition and nothing but for 5 minutes. And I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I felt a little bit of a red flag there, because while I was watching this, I was like forgiving certain things because I just wanted to give it a shot. And then as it started kept going, I was sort of swept up in it. And there's a few little moments where I'm just like, "Ooh, that was actually really neat." But then slept on it. I literally woke up next morning and thought, wait a minute.
Well, that's actually the opposite of what happened to me. Was I tried to watch it twice whilst drunk after the Super Bowl. And I like started it and I was like, this is fucking terrible. And then I was like restarted it because I think I fell asleep. And then I was like, I'm going to try to watch this. And I was like, this is really fucking terrible. And the next day I watched it sober and I was like, this wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
You killed the brain cell.
I think that's what just happened.
Amazing.
The first time was the charm. Just saying.
And I'm going to split the difference and say that I watched it after the Super Bowl stoned and didn't like it. Woke up the next morning and still didn't like it.
I didn't watch the Super Bowl, was sober, watched it.
I tune in to the Super Bowl just so I know the moment this was posted so I could watch it.
Oh, no, I had my phone on Twitter and I was just like scrawling every like minute and a half or so.
And all us nerds. All the nerds were like,
cool, all right. Well, it was like with I saw this because I got this friend on Facebook. Bless his little tiny heart. He's the biggest Cloverfield fan I know. Mm. He loves both of the movies. He's certain that there's all these connections. Well, and then I saw him post it, and I'm like, that actually sounds they're going to make like a proper like connected film to the first movie? He loves it so much.
It's going to end with all the characters in a church at the end, all realizing they had been dead for the entire time.
So let's talk synopsis real quick.
Yeah, let's actually talk about the concept.
I mean, like I said, this is spoiler review, so we don't really need to so much give a synopsis of the film.
The thing is, we're just like randomly throwing plot points out and not really talking about the plot at any point yet.
Goes wrong in space. All right, that's the plot.
Shit goes wrong in space, which is definitely one we've seen in movies like Event Horizon, Sunshine, things like that in both those movies.
And this is more Sunshine than Event Horizon.
Yeah, but Sunshine's a considerably better film than this. By a sizable
margin. Not the biggest
fan
of Sunshine.
That's
my favorite movie.
I would put Sunshine a little bit above this, but I would put Event Horizon below this, but I'm not a fan of Event Horizon.
All right.
So. I mean, I would say that just it's a takeoff of the whole Hadron Collider thing. This whole, and again, there's these buzzwords about multiple dimensions, which we get laid out for us nice and clean.
So, like, you're saying, we're all so excited about it. Where's my reboot of Sliders, goddamn?
Now you're talking.
That's the only thing I want. Why can't I have it?
I mean,
Jerry O'Connell's career.
Oh my god. What if the Cloverfield monster is Jerry O'Connell? And it's just like, I just see, like, the Cloverfield monster showing up and, like, trying to adapt. Like, wait, this universe is
a dinosaurs reboot but with Cloverfield monsters.
Oh shit. You know,
it still sounds better than what
I
this
would
was.
Shit out of that.
You know, and that's the thing though, it's like there's so many weird aspects as the plot goes on. Like, why is it that Zhang Ziyi clearly can speak English because she can understand everything everyone is saying to her in English.
That
perfectly fine. When they're screaming shit at her rapidly.
That's the thing people can do.
Oh my God. I love
English often.
But she has just one line in the whole movie.
I kind of liked that part of the movie because I was like, in the future, this is how I expect humanity to behave.
This is only 10 years in the future, too.
I kind of liked it because...
It was like a Firefly thing for me. You know what I mean?
I was charmed by it because it reminded me of Nick Adams in Godzilla vs. Monster Zero because he's the only one speaking English and everyone else is speaking Japanese.
It's almost like, but everybody else is speaking English.
Right.
Even people like the Russian guy.
Well, they were speaking a little
bit
of Chinese to her, but.
Yeah, tiny.
Well, Daniel Brühl does. I don't think like the Russian guy doesn't.
Yeah, well, because
no, the Russian guy does at one point. Yeah, everybody does.
I wasn't paying attention.
No, because they established that enough to say, oh, they do, but then you're like, but clearly you understand English, and literally it's obvious it has been chosen on the space station that this is the language we're all speaking. She's like, fuck that.
She's proud of her race, goddammit.
The characters are polymath.
Yeah, fair enough.
It
wasn't a huge bothersome thing here.
Awesome.
I will say, like it didn't really, I was actually enjoying this going, this is a B movie, but I'm having fun with it, up until a point where I started realizing none of this weird shit that's happening makes any sense at all.
Fucking
insane! No, it's not. That's a cheap way to have scary stuff happen in your movie. That's all was.
I want to know how the goddamn arm knew the engine
made
was.
No sense.
That was the point. How does it? Okay. I mean, the arm doing the right stuff was funny.
The arm was being controlled by him in the other dimension.
How could he hear them though in the other dimension?
But he's controlled the arm.
The arm sent. If you cross dimensions.
That would make the argument that the arm is connected to him, so he's crawling across the deck for some reason.
I mean, none
of that makes any sense.
I really wanted a love scene between the arm
and literally anyone.
I totally feel like a stranger, too.
Jesus.
I saw someone trying to excuse it by saying, oh, because the arm is from a parallel dimension where all body parts are sentient all on their own.
The arm is being controlled by the other guy from the other dimension who knows where the gyroscope was.
Well, that doesn't make any sense because it's crawling across the floor and shit.
If the gyroscope
should be floating in the air.
Sci-fi movies make fucking sense?
No, but that's the thing is that that's no excuse.
So their version of the Russian guy must have ended up dead, but where the gyroscope was, so they figured that the gyroscope would be in the Russian guy.
If the people are all trying to occupy the same space and time or what the fuck ever, then why was their spaceship exploded on the surface of the Earth?
Because that wasn't their ship, actually.
Not a different time from Elizabeth Debicki, who's on their ship.
Then how did she... See, here's the thing. None of it makes any fucking sense because it's lazy goddamn writing. I'm not gonna get up on a board and have the red string going everywhere. That's just a bad movie.
It was a fun movie, though.
I had fun watching it.
What would have made this movie fun? And I heard already read somebody else suggested. I was like, they're absolutely right.
Not having
the
Cloverfield.
Best scene. Well, yeah, whatever. But I mean, that didn't even bother me so much. But Chris O'Dowd to me was the strongest part of this movie.
Even though
his reactions to losing his arm are remarkably tall.
You dumb bastard, your arm's off.
But he's so funny in this. I'm like, why didn't you guys just make this a comedy? That's the only stuff that really works here is the stuff with him. Why didn't you just make this a horror comedy?
Even to the point where the ending of the movie, the final scene, feels like it would be the end of a comedy.
It totally does.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I wanted a that's all for
us. Yeah,
exactly. The head.
Characters you got kind of invested in for 2 hours. Ah, fuck it. They just got eaten by the monster. Hey, everybody.
Also, is that Cloverfield monster 1,000 feet tall?
I think so.
Is that not the same?
No, the Cloverfield monster in the original was a baby.
That's true. They did establish it was a baby.
Yeah.
And remember, J.J. Abrams said that in an interview trying to... That, no, I don't
Matt
even
Reeves
believe...
said that, the director.
Yeah. No, everyone
doesn't
said that.
Doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. Everyone said that.
is that there's nothing... Yeah.
I can't believe Matt Frank...
He just fucking just threw that out there.
Giant monster under his...
Oh, trust me. There's some giant monster movies I don't care for.
Okay, all right.
Okay, here's the thing. I actually was a little giddy seeing the Cloverfield monster because I really, really love the first Cloverfield movie. It's one of my favorite monster movies.
And, I enjoy it quite a bit as well.
Yeah, and I remember that old review. I saw it at the end of the movie. I'm like, oh, that was neat. And then I started thinking about it. And I'm like, but wait, so was that the same? So is that supposed to be the parent? But is it? But then there's a manga. There actually is a Japanese comic book that establishes that there's not, like, it's not like there's a one mother. It's like there's a bunch of eggs under the sea, and the mother is dead or something.
Tagaratu or Tagarata.
I hate that name because there should be a U between the G and the R.
That's the corporation. That's the.
They're the Weyland Yutani, and they were
of the
making
universe.
They're making soft drinks out of deep sea mineral, and right. That woke up,
which is
the
supposed to make your
monster.
Stomach happy. But as you can see, like in the purest form, like when the monster gets here in Cloverfield, it actually like explodes.
Makes
your
you
stomach.
Explode, yeah.
But that's
see,
what
it's like
Slusho,
you need to go back to the 10 Cloverfield one where it's like John Goodman just drinks too many Slushos and he gets infected by one of the creatures and it turns him into the giant Cloverfield.
Oh, see, that would be fucking cool.
Where he's
actually.
Just yeah, he's just going, guys, I could use a cheeseburger.
Make a good one.
He just turns into Sully from Monsters Incorporated.
Watch that. I'll watch that movie.
I watched
there's too many things in here that's just like, oh, well, that's convenient, or things that were like, well,
movie should be retitled That's Convenient the Movie.
Yeah,
you're either on board or you're not, and I was on board.
No, you're right, right.
I was on board.
But I go, there's nobody here, you're not giving me a reason to care about anyone in this film, and they die so arbitrarily.
Yeah, it's like, as soon as a character gets just isolated enough, or a character is pretty much any time a character is isolated and they're not watching a home movie, something horrible is going to happen to them. It's just so... It felt like a throwback to back before we knew all these tropes.
Which I wouldn't mind if there was the feeling there was like that sort of thing, which has certainly worked when like, oh, they get alone and in horror, something that you can't possibly predict that's abstract will happen to them. Sure, if there's a mind behind it, if there's someone you can point to as like, this is this thing that's making this happen, that's tracking them, like your Freddy Krueger's or your Satan in Event Horizon.
If there was a Cloverfield monster like chasing them through the hallways.
Well, that's what I thought was going to happen. Like even like when Chris O'Dowd dies, like you think, okay, are they going that route where it's some sort of interdimensional being is like controlling the
demons?
And then they never really get into
why did the metallic that stuff grab him?
I don't know.
And was like, it was kind of like missed opportunity. It felt like would have been kind of cooler if it had just plunged through him, which is what it looked like it was going to do. As it was like, well, why is this stuff suddenly intelligent? I got the feeling it was
the
metallic.
The membrane of space-time was still not...
Have you ever played Doom?
it was permeable on that point.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is like once you start getting into intergalactic entities, you start getting into the Event Horizon space. And then at that point, it's not differentiating itself enough. It's Event Horizon without there being a reason for anything happening.
The thing is, there's a lot of ideas that happen in this movie of the ship doing things on its own quite a bit, actually, you know, with it sucking his arm into the wall, it causing random freak accidents to happen to certain people when they go into certain areas. Which I gotta admit, I love the hell of the death out of the airlock with the water thing.
That
shit was awesome as hell.
Visually creative.
Yeah, it was visually badass. Like, I half expected her to get sucked out, but what actually happened, I was like, oh, that was actually really fucking cool.
I actually was really, I was genuinely, I was clutching my plush Godzilla when, what's her name, was stuck in the panel.
Oh, yeah.
When they hear that scream, oh, that was, ugh!
And the scream sounds like a monster, and you expect it to be a monster.
Oh, no, it's a person! And they're like, ugh.
There's like a lot of ideas with it, because there's the fact that it's implied that maybe the space station isn't even their specific space station at that point. So theirs is the one that's crashed in the water.
Oh, right, because the logs and everything.
And so the logs, the pictures, all that kind of thing. Yeah. The worms,
there's
like,
the
everything's
one
moved.
But, there's
when they start the machine back up, then they
I mean, I got more of the feeling everything's just kind of crunched together. I mean,
the problem,
even like the thing with like the Russian guy started, who is the guy from their universe, but he's starting to have thoughts that are clearly crunched into him from this other guy of that didn't exist in their universe of being paranoid against.
To a certain extent,
to some extent, he's two people fused.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that at all.
It's like you're like, oh wait, is that supposed to be? Is he acting crazy because of the worms? It's
that's not what I thought.
Is it the demons?
Yeah. I had to read other people's takes on it to go, oh okay, I guess I can see that's what it's supposed to be.
No, it does make sense because like the other one knew full well that the German guy had betrayed him by that point. And so their minds must have been like, hey, make a gun to shoot that guy.
Hey, go 3D print a gun.
Yeah, go 3D print a gun.
What if the dude was alive for like an hour and a half with like 5,000 living
worms
inside
in him
and a fucking gyrosphere thing the size of a basketball?
That's not having stomach problems.
The worms are like, oh, dude, he's dead. Let's get out of here now.
The membrane of space-time was still permeable.
Yeah, a lot of
to the point it no longer was.
The thing is, there's so much, like, every time, the
that's
entire time...
That's convenient, the movie.
Well, the entire time I watched this movie, I'm like, okay, this is gonna happen, and Mike's like, are you sure? And every single thing I said came true. Even the last thing, when the monster popped up, I was like, I bet you this is what's gonna happen, and it happened.
See, that's the thing, is like, I was waiting for monster to show up, and the whole time I'm going, please don't do this. Wait, oh my, you gotta be fucking
the thing was, I was giddy
that.
When it happened, because I wanted it
I
to
was
happen.
Like, please do this, and I was happy they did it.
I wanted the monster to swallow the ship and then go.
I thought it would have been amazing. The thing is, like, I thought it did swallow the ship, but like again, it's so sudden. You're just like,
I don't think it did.
Well, I rewatched that scene and it looks like it just sort of like hits the cloud and then pops up in front.
It's just it doesn't mean anything. Nothing means anything. We're all going to die.
in the original Cloverfield, you have what looks like a satellite or something falling to the ocean. People were like. Well, then that's what fell. It was their escape pod.
But he says it fell off the shore of Delaware.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that in the first Cloverfield, that takes place like a few days before Cloverfield itself actually takes place.
Or something.
I don't think there's any way to make a real timeline. Whereas even, like I said, the people like behind the scenes here have kind of gone, well, yeah, okay, with theories, fan theories, like that each one is.
You see, what happens is Superboy punches the space-time.
There's no way to really tie all these together. No. You're like, okay.
You don't necessarily really need to. Like, just embrace it as an anthology series that may contain monsters, and either you're on board or
you see what it's missing is just a J.J. Abrams going, imagine if you will.
All right, let's go to final thoughts here. George, why don't you get us started?
All right. I enjoyed it. I mean, that's all there is to it. I had a fun time with it. If you pick apart the logic, you really have to jump through hoops to make it work, and I didn't necessarily need to. I give it 7 out of 10 slushes.
Okay.
Nice.
Ian?
It's funny because when it started out, you know, it was kind of clunky. It was kind of rough around the edges, you know, like Matt was saying, that whole scene where it's just dialogue and exposition for 5 minutes, you know. But once it kind of got going, I was sort of on board. And as sort of the freaky stuff was happening, I was curious to see where it would go. And then there comes that point where the arm starts writing, and I was like, okay, wait a minute. what's the payoff for this going to be? And then I felt like I never really got that payoff. And it was like an interesting 40-minute Black Mirror episode stretched out over 100 minutes. And do I think this is, like, the worst movie ever? Do I think this is, like, the death nail of the Cloverfield series? No. The people who are saying that are being just hyperbolic assholes. what we're left with is, frankly, just a straight-to-Netflix sci-fi movie, you know? There's some good things about it. There's some bad things about it. It's just kind of there, you know? And so I'd probably give it, you know, 4 out of 10 screaming Donald Logues.
Patience?
I had fun with this movie after I finally watched it sober. unlike 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I thought suffered from the Cloverfield plot, I thought this needed the Cloverfield plot in order to be successful. So I enjoyed it. It was a fun film. I laughed. So I'm going to give it like 6 Vems out of 10.
6 what?
Vems.
Vems?
Vems.
Oh, I don't know.
German worm.
It's German worm.
Vems.
It's a Vem. The Vem, yes.
Worms are going to explode out of every second. Just
any second.
Matt?
Okay, so...
buckle in, everyone.
In all seriousness, I didn't hate it as much as it sounds like I did. I had fun watching it. I was fairly involved. I was I was more frustrated at the kind of disingenuousness of it, that it feels like this after the fact, oh no, it's all connected, and it's just not. It's a bunch of stuff sprinkled in. It feels like the, what does J.J. Abrams call it, the mystery box, the... when he's like, no, I swear, it's not Khan.
Right, right.
Yeah. It feels like that whole thing, like this, like, you know, kind of, like, tugging on my dick, but nothing's happening. And it's, I don't
know. You need to get a better arm.
The true Cloverfield right? paradox.
I got, I'm going to write down an address for you of a massage parlor here in town. Obviously, you're going to the wrong
Maybe,
place.
Yeah, Chris clearly. I mean, you know. Take
Did
back
you give you a hand?
Oh my god. Okay, look, the thing is
sorry, I disarmed Jesus you, I'm sorry.
Oh, so good. I love your puns.
I there are a few times in my life where I'm just struck speechless. And I'm just gonna blow past that. No, I don't want anyone who enjoyed this movie. If you enjoyed the movie, that's fine. I'm glad you did. I did while I was watching it. I just started thinking about it, and I started getting frustrated with it. So, but yeah, I don't think it's the worst thing ever. I don't think it clear. If they do something else moving forward, don't do all this work of trying to connect it when it's not intended to be connected in the first place. Just make an anthology series. Do some weird sci-fi stuff. I like 10 Cloverfield Lane a lot, and I love the original Cloverfield. I would have preferred if this was just the God Particle with just some more focused stuff in it and maybe a little more, like, a little more reason for stuff happening.
Internal
and I think
logic.
A little more internal logic. And maybe throw a creature in there, like, oh, the dimensional rift brought into my man, a manster. There's a manster on the ship. Man. I don't know why I'm going with that. But.
So you would have liked it better if it wasn't a Cloverfield project.
Yes. As much as it's nice to see the precious sweet baby boy again on screen, I'm going to give it... I'm actually probably going to give it 4 out of 10... parasites, what make you explode when you bite, when they bite you.
So thems.
Thems. Thems. Thems. Is, darling, is.
Dragon Ball Mike?
Well, the thing about this movie is that I actually really did enjoy it. I watched it right after the Super Bowl with my roommate. I guessed everything that was going to happen at certain points, and there's a lot of weird-ass cuts that imply way worse things, to be honest. Like, for instance, me and Ian were talking about the sequence where the doctor finds this little girl just screaming bloody fucking murder and he's just staring at her. So you're expecting something fucked up to happen. No, he just takes her in his car and goes, here's M&M's. Sorry, your uncle's dead.
Sorry, yeah, I was going to say, sorry you saw a monster. Yes.
I've got dead kids in this dimension.
Yeah, sorry about all the dead kids. Oh, my kids died once. Da, 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 da. And then it's just like, okay.
I hope it's a deleted scene somewhere. And there's like a good 15 seconds of silence. And he just looks and goes, yeah, you know, I had kids. They died
kids
once too. Kind of sucked.
I had a lot of M&Ms that day.
They helped me through some dark nights.
Here's some more M&Ms. But no.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man.
They were left in Reese's Pieces.
Oh, we can't kick him out because it's his house.
I'll take you all.
I lost train of my thought, but
flaming hot Cheetos.
No, but yeah. Sorry. Overall, the movie, like everybody who's in this movie is trying their best, honestly, except for maybe one or two people here and there, but they're not given a lot of screen time. Daniel Brühl is good, as he always is, can speak a lot of languages, apparently, so good for him on that one.
Grasping for straws.
Well, the thing is, everyone
when
says,
he spoke the words good,
yeah.
I'll give it a point for that.
English and German, even a little Mandarin.
A little Mandarin, but yeah, like, I got
10 out of 10!
Yeah,
give it an Oscar.
5 out of 7, too much water. No, No.
Spit it out.
Okay. God damn it. No, Chris O'Dowd's great in this movie. Honestly, he's the best part of the entire movie. But honestly, like, it's worth a good little just quick watch. Like, if you have some time to kill and you just feel like watching it and you want, after watching the other two, it's not bad. It's not great, but it's okay. But I gotta give it 7.5 out of 10 times Chris O'Dowd going, what the fuck is happening?
You know, it's like it's such a shame because there really are some good performances. Here, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, I think, is a force of nature as an actress. She is so great, and she's one of those people she just draws you in as an actress. She could deliver almost any dialogue, and because it's her, you're just like, yes, I'm totally with you. Yes, you should totally stay in San Junipero forever too. I agree, that's the right decision. She's wonderful. Like I said, Chris O'Dowd's really funny. A lot of the other cast doesn't really have a hell of a lot to do. They kind of run around and point at stuff and yell a lot.
I mean, but, how do you say her name? Zhang Ziyi? I don't know how to say
it. I feel like she was definitely like really important to the plot.
But still, I feel like she really have a lot of like moments.
She's a very charismatic actress, and it doesn't feel like she really got to do a whole lot of that. I was kind of disappointed by that.
It may be to some degree that I am reasonably sure that in regular life she barely speaks any English at all.
And it's true.
That led thus the Chinese thing, and I was complaining about the movie. They were working around that.
Yeah, basically.
God knows one of my favorite movies is Suspiria, and apparently almost no one on that film spoke the same language.
Amazing.
they all spoke in their native languages, and everyone just knew the script, so they just reacted.
It's like the Tower of Babel, but with movies.
Yeah, exactly. My problem here is, as George mentioned, it's the lack of internal logic here. There's so little of it, and especially, I mean, I'd have to rewatch
it
again.
The membrane of space.
not a reasoning.
I can see it all. Infinity.
Towards the end, when after complaining, we have
internal logic. Where you literally are saying there's gonna be no internal logic.
I mean, it's just like the ship is literally there's barely any of it even left. Before that, they were like, we got almost no fuel. I mean, like an hour before that, they're like, we can only launch it 3 more times. And then the ship is blown to shit, and they're like, oh, okay, so we can launch it 2 more times. The particle accelerator that took up almost all their fuel to do it the first time they did it. None of that makes a fucking lick of sense. There's
I like how
so
it just
much
worked again. It just worked.
Yeah, there's after so tried much just shit. I'm just like, that's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense considering everything you've told us already. That like,
no, they
despite
they calculations,
yeah, they actually
they
do.
Work,
yeah.
And they
yeah
have to shut
yeah
down
because
systems.
No one, they were like,
order.
Oh, we forgot to vent humidity. What?
Like, in space.
It was condensation.
You guys are scientists.
Oh, well, it changes everything. Then I raised my review by 7 points.
Yeah. I'll give it
an explanation at least.
I'll give it 5 out of 10 T.J. Millers.
God.
Masticated T.J. Miller.
This film isn't rapey.
It is a little bit.
I don't know. It's like, I really, despite right from the get-go going, oh, this is going to have problems, but was having fun with this for the first act and a half. And then it just totally lost me. Where by the end, I was like, I don't have any goodwill left for you, movie. I wish I did. There's stuff in here that's good, but it's all in the middle of a really bad movie. I don't know what to tell you. I think it's watchable, but that's about it. I'm never going to go back and rewatch this thing. I give it 3.5 out of 10 weird lazy eyes.
Oh, I'll tell you what, though. I did. I did go back and rewatch Clover, the monster popping out of the clouds a couple times. You're like, nah, look at him. Look at him.
Yeah, I did too.
I did that too. That's because I couldn't believe that was the end of the movie.
This was the VHS era. Matt's copy would have tracking
just on that scene.
Ah, look at him. Ah, there he is. Oh. He's going to come out. Clouds. He's going to. Ah, there he is. Hey.
Also, don't shine a black light on Matt's big stuffed Godzilla he was clutching the whole time.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's people stuck in walls. That really gets me off. What the fuck are you talking about?
That's my favorite episode of CSI.